everybody. You're listening to The Comedy Nerds. I'm Dan Mackern.
I'm Def Diodato.
Thank you so much for tuning in. We are just getting over our April Fool's Day hangovers, you guys. Blah, crazy tricks we all played.
And what in studio, we have a guest this week.
Oh, okay.
Dan Upsall. He's a sketch comedian, video maker, whatever you want to call it. He does a lot of comedy-related things.
Hello, everybody. Thank you very much for having me. Happy to be here.
Thank you.
And he is one of the happier comedians that I know, which seems shady. the thing is, Dan's from Iowa, right?
Yep, that's the state.
Yep, so I don't trust that right off the top, but but you never
that
know.
That doesn't sound like a real place.
No, Iowa. That's what I'm saying.
Say it out loud, Iowa.
It's one of the United States, I promise.
Is it?
Yeah.
That doesn't
has anybody
it's
ever really,
the 50.
Has anybody been there, though, really?
Well, no.
Okay, well, then there you go.
It's just empty
it's
land.
It's a fantasy place.
You may know Dan if you're a fan of Channel 101 NY, or however it is now. He had a tremendous run with his series. You want to tell us a little bit about it?
Sure. It's called Acting Real Master Database, and we did 7 episodes, 5 minutes apiece, and they were basically in the format of acting reels. I don't know if you guys have seen acting reels.
Yes.
That's a commonly known thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I came across those a couple years ago with my good friend Adam Beecher.
Yes, Beech.
Also from Iowa.
Also very happy.
joyous man.
Also shady.
Yep.
Also very shady.
But we had come across all these acting reels, and we thought, this is like such a weird, perfect format for like sort of like a miniature sketch show. Which is like all these, you know, basically an actor puts together all the real or all the roles that they've been in, and it could be anything, like they're a cop or a host of a show or whatever, and they're always kind of like poorly put together with like bad cuts and abrupt moments and stuff. So it's seemed like a perfect format to kind of put together a mini sketch show. So we made one episode like a year and a half ago or something, and submitted to Channel 101, New York. And they liked it, and it continued from there.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, we'll get into it more in the second half. First, we have to hit up some news,
because
that's how we roll. So, Dan, why don't you go first?
All right. Well, Conan O'Brien has announced he's going to be live blogging his show on Facebook on Tuesday of this week, I believe. So the day after this.
So hopefully you listen to this right away.
The day after this drops. Yeah, so basically this is a thing that people are doing now because they're trying to get people to watch the show live.
I think
this happens on Survivor. What's the guy's name? I wanted to call him Greg Proops, but that's not his name.
Fallon did it too, though.
That was Fallon did it?
Fallon Ustream watched his show.
Okay. Well, this is the thing. So I think this brings up a little bit of, for me, a question of, and I'll throw it out to you guys, the morality of watching. Look, okay, let me put it this way. Obviously, I love Conan, you know, huge fan or whatever.
Yeah.
But I watch his show on the DVR because either I'm asleep at 11 o'clock or, ironically, I'm out doing a show or having rehearsal at the time. So I'm never there awake to watch his show.
So what's your moral, is your moral question whether or not you're a bad person for not watching it live?
Because here's the thing. I watch it on the DVR. I'm not going to lie to you. I got a little 30-second jump button right there. I'm not going to sit through commercials. But isn't that sort of hurting the person that you enjoy because they, you know, their show exists so you can watch commercials, and if you're not watching those commercials, you know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
Is there any...
So it's a DVR morality question that you
yes.
have?
Yeah.
I don't have DVR.
Oh.
Sorry.
There
Why
you
not?
Go.
That costs like an extra couple of dollars a month.
Yeah. Do it. It is the best $10 you will ever spend.
It's $10? I thought it was $5. Now I'm definitely not doing it.
Oh, my God. That is the worst choice a human being could make. I would encourage you to just not eat for a full day and make sure that you get DVR every month.
Yeah.
It will change your TV watching experience.
It does seem like it would be good.
It is great. It is great. And there's no moral problem there.
What? But I mean, but okay, let's say everyone watches it, time-delayed Conan, and then it gets canceled. Do you not feel a little bit bad about that?
It's not going to get canceled.
Because of low ratings?
Yeah, because the advertisers are like, why are we going to bother to pay to have our commercial if no one is watching our commercials?
That applies to every show on TV, though. Every TV show has an equal amount of that happening.
No, I understand that. So, I mean, I'm not saying...
I just won. It's over. Goodbye.
No. But I'm saying, like, for, you know, again, from like a standpoint of supporting someone that you like, do you have a moral obligation to watch the commercials on their show if you're trying to support this person?
No.
Okay. Fair enough. No. That was a quick answer.
I think the difference is, I think if there's a stand-up comedian that you like,
yeah,
or like whatever, I think you probably have a moral obligation to actually buy their CD,
mm-hmm,
or, you know, their DVD or whatever it is like that, because in those cases, that's exactly how the person lives.
Yeah.
You know, it's one thing if it's, you know, to a degree, I would even argue that, like, musicians, you don't even need to buy their music as much as you do because they're getting so much money from everything else. But stand-up comedians, buy their CD. Don't be a jerk about it.
Yeah.
But in terms of, like, the commercials during their show, that's so removed, I think, from them personally.
Maybe, but I mean, that's how they make their money, is because the advertisers pay.
Yeah, we're going to get really
the studio.
We're going to get really inside if we continue arguing this.
Well, I'm saying that, but am I not right that the advertisers pay the studio pays them? So if you're not watching the commercial, the advertisers don't want to pay for
the
commercials.
Right, anymore. But then we get into, like, well, what are the demographics? And what are the demographics of the people who use DVR? And what are the, you know, of those people, how many are actually watching the commercial? Like, like, there's too much of a chart, I think, here for us to really know what effect that would have.
Okay, but it doesn't, you don't, I'm saying you think that it's fine to do that.
Yeah, I think that's how I watch The Daily Show, and I don't think it's negatively affecting their careers.
Fair enough. Just leave the TV on during when it's actually on.
Yeah,
and they'll take in your ratings. And
there you go. See, he solved it. I love it. Well, anyway, he's gonna be doing that again, obviously, in a way to get people to be on the Facebook and watching the show at the same time. So you'll be watching it live. I mean, you know, I'm going to not watch it live, but probably get my laptop and put on Facebook when I watch the show later on and just see what he had to say about it.
Well, I mean, I think that whole community or whatever, I won't watch the Emmys or the Grammys or any of those big events now without Twitter in front of me, because it's like, oh, this show's going to be twice as entertaining when, like, I only follow comedians, so they're going to be making jokes the whole time, and then I can make jokes the whole time, and then I have an audience.
Yeah.
So I get to watch from the comfort of my own home with an audience of people.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's sort of like an unintended consequence, is something like Twitter has actually helped, like, the Grammys. Because now people will watch it with the idea of, like, oh, if I see all the jokes that comedians are making, it's actually going to be a lot. It's almost like a Mystery Science Theater. Like, oh, this is going to be fun now.
Yeah.
Whereas I would never, I mean, I still don't, but I would never have watched the Grammys without the idea of, like, oh, someone will be making jokes about it, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a little bit of a weird thing because, like, I don't know if it's weird to make jokes about a comedy show. I don't know how much that helps, but you know, I think it's
that's a little bit more of a fan.
They're trying to get a little bit of that heat on them and stuff. All right, let's move on. So Betty White is getting her own prank show. Let's talk about it. She's going to be host of a show where 7 senior citizens will be pulling pranks on younger people. Thoughts on the Betty White prank show?
I think it'll be good. What do you think, Dan?
I think it sounds awesome. I love anything with old people.
Yeah.
In general.
Fair enough.
Well, that's one of the things, and we'll get to it later, but one of the things that I love about Dan's series is it contains two things that are in no other videos that are going on right now, and that's kids and old people.
Mm-hmm.
And because if you look at video, like comedy videos out there, you will see that it is 99.9% white dudes in their 20s and 30s.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a girl in there who's funky, but basically that's what it is. And Dan has managed to actually get old people and kids to be in his video, and I commend you for that.
Oh, thank you.
Where do you find them?
Craigslist, mostly. Or friends of friends of friends.
You go on Craigslist and say, hey, I'm looking for an old dude for a video?
I've done that many times. And actually, so a couple times I've posted, you know, like 60 to 90-year-old man or woman or something. I've actually gotten quite a few responses, but like a few Craigslist postings have actually been flagged for like looking for 7-year-old boy for a video shoot. And I get an email 5 minutes later, this has been taken.
You're like,
down.
No, I'm from Iowa.
Exactly.
I'm simple like that.
But I love old people. I can't wait till I'm old. I just think of like my grandparents and just like sitting around eating toast and drinking coffee and having no worries or careers or anything, and wearing cardigan sweaters.
You're looking forward to that?
Oh, yes.
I figured you were looking forward to being that, like 80-year-old person and still doing those videos. Just being like, I'm going to do ridiculous crap.
Well, we'll see.
I can.
Yeah. But yeah, I think that's sort of just like a pet peeve of mine. I think you're right about comedy videos just having, you know, white dudes 20 to 30. And so, like, especially when it's somebody who clearly is supposed to be, like, an old person or something, and their hair is slightly gray or something.
Yeah.
It's like, old people are out there. They want to be they want to be on video.
I would just assume, though, that every single person, if I went on Craigslist and tried to get, like, a 70-year-old person to be in a video, I would think that they would show up assuming it was porn.
Well, I think they do.
Okay. But they're so they're thrilled?
Yeah. They're like, oh, this is something. I'll do that.
They're just taking their shirt off. No, this is that's not that's fine.
Yeah. Actually, they do take their shirts off sometimes. I've had a couple of shirtless old men, and that's not a joke.
And if you look at the videos, all of them are wearing breakaway pants.
Yeah,
every old guy in the video, like you can just see the little prepared Velcro. Yeah,
they're just ready to go. So I shouldn't mention the show is called Betty White's Off Their Rockers.
Oh God,
love that. Yeah, and this is gonna.
I think it's great because I think old people can go so much farther where you still, because people assume that old people are kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Like they can take a prank to an extent where you're like, okay,
yeah,
maybe I should still help this person because maybe they don't know who they are.
Right.
But then it's also kind of making fun of old people. So I don't know, like, I think that's how it would work, but I also don't think that show could last for more than like a week without AARP being like, set them on fire.
Wait, what? AARP wants to set old people on fire?
No, it wants to set the producers of the show on
fire.
Oh,
okay.
For essentially making fun of old people because all old people have Alzheimer's and they poop on themselves.
I get.
That's got to be a big part of the show.
Yeah, that's hoping.
That's weird.
And who's it made for? Is it for old people or do you think it's made for
people
who appreciate...
Here's the thing. It's on NBC. So they're like, if anyone watches, we're just going to be so happy. Yeah. If there's anyone out there who has turned on a TV, even if it's playing... I think NBC's new slogan should be like, just put it on in the background. Just how about that? How about you just while you're doing something else? Please. We're losing to the CW. Oh, my God. Anyway, yeah.
Well, I know I've mentioned it before, but my favorite thing about working there for that period of time was arena football. We noticed an inverse relationship between promoting arena football and people watching it.
Yeah.
So basically, we determined that their ratings had to come from people who left the TV on. But if you knew it was coming up, you'd flip the channel.
Yeah.
But if it accidentally came up and you went in the other room, you would watch
you're
it.
You're just like, ah, whatever. I'm not going to turn the channel now.
Yeah. Arena football still on TV?
No.
Oh,
okay.
It was way back when.
It was for a while.
Yeah.
Though, but yeah.
Iowa has an arena football team. Iowa Barnstormers.
Nice.
All right, Iowa. We can move on now.
Isn't there what's the New York Knights? Isn't that the arena football team?
I don't know. I used to know.
That might be lacrosse. I don't remember.
They also stopped for a couple years and then they relaunched. And then there were like new teams.
Yeah.
So like the Philadelphia Soul, which was run by John Bon Jovi.
Yeah.
Gone.
I'm just gonna throw this out there. We have two choices. We can move on to the next story. We can keep talking about arena football. So
okay.
I'm just saying. I don't want to.
I'm sorry. I digress for a minute on arena football.
No. What I'm saying, but understand that. Put yourself in the listener's head. They're out there going, I'm listening to a podcast about arena football right now.
Okay.
So should I keep listening?
Okay.
Or?
DVR. Okay, all right. That's fine.
Let's move on.
If you didn't catch it, go on YouTube right now. Colbert and Fallon. Did a rendition of Rebecca Black's Friday on Fallon's show on Friday night, and it was awesome.
Yeah,
and I loved it, and it was as ridiculous as you could. And the thing to me that it really showed, because the video, because everybody knows the song's horrible. Yeah. If you haven't listened to it, you know it's horrible. We talked about it last week about like let's not make fun of this 13-year-old girl.
Yeah,
but the fact that by the end of the show I was kind of getting into it shows that if you commit enough to something, you can make it work.
Well,
anybody. If you're good, like, if you really just try and sell it and have a good time with it, you can make it work.
Here's the thing. Because I watched some of the other videos that this company has made, and they're dreadful. And that's the thing that I think people are like, why did this take off? And because I think it's like
luck.
This weird. No, I actually think it's some sort of weird alchemy where the song is terrible, but it's actually just good enough to be horrible, but also, like, bearable. Because I actually, like, it's terrible, but then it will get stuck in my head, where I'm going, Friday, mm-hmm. getting... There's something very sing-songy and very, like, almost like a commercial jingle about it, where you're just walking around going, I like this Friday in you. I still sing I like this Friday in you, even though that commercial's not on the air in 15 years. But there's something very... very hooky about it. Shut up. There's something very hooky about it. So I think there is some sort of weird...
Do you want some taffy?
Like, perfect... I mean, if you have some, yeah. but I do feel there's this sort of weird like cross where like horrible song meets like, you know, sort of hooky good song, like yeah. in a way that like this is like perfectly on that spot where it's a lot of fun to listen to because it is kind of hooky, but it's just so terrible yeah. that because I also think like with better lyrics and lyrics that actually like fit with the song, because the lyrics don't really fit in with the song, they have to like kind of stretch out the
yeah.
the mm-hmm, syllables mm-hmm. to make it fit. It might actually not be that bad, but yeah, that's the thing. I mean, when you get like fun comedians doing it, it's like, yeah, it's actually
I think
terrible.
They broke the rule of never put the word afterwards
yeah.
in a song. If you, always right around afterwards. There's always a better way to say that. Because
that is by far the best part of that song.
It's well, always a bad idea.
It's just such a feeling of like, and Sunday comes, oh yeah. boy.
It's like somebody asks, how do weekends work? And then, well, here it is.
You know. Yeah, this is the thing. If aliens ever land, yeah. and they're like, how do weekends work? Like, here you go. This
I mean, they may end up playing that for like kindergartners in the future yeah. when they're trying to teach them the days. And then it's useful.
It's also so funny to me that, like, she just goes through the days of the week. Because I was thinking this, like, because in Christmas songs, they'll do that. They'll be like, you know, Christmas comes, then New Year's. But that's once a year. You know what I mean? This happens every week. Like, we all know yeah. in the order the days come in. It just seems too, like, to be like, oh, the sky's blue, dogs bark, you know, sometimes the wind blows. Like, we know all yeah. this. Maybe we should move on to larger subjects that are a little more mysterious and not... just
she's 13
how a calendar works. I know she's 13 but yeah. still,
but check it out. It's got Taylor Hicks.
It's
got the Nick City Dancers.
Why not? Sure.
It's got Jimmy Fallon auto-tuned.
Yep.
So
love it.
I mean, and it's got Colbert. How
Colbert's
can you go wrong
in it? And it was for charity. They raised $86,000 for something, so
yeah, donors choose. Good.
There you go. Awesome.
Speaking of, before we get into today's topic,
yeah.
Once again, if you look on the little sidebar on our website, I said I was going to do this last week, but I didn't actually do it, but I'm doing it as soon as we finish this recording.
Okay.
You can sign up to donate to Vision Walk 2011. I have a team called Going Blind Sucks.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be adding members, hopefully more members soon, to be walking with us. But please sign up, donate, and help Foundation Fighting Blindness cure varying forms of blindness.
Awesome.
Do it, because it'll make you feel good on the inside. And it'll make me feel good if we hit our point in our thermometer, which is $4,000. So we're going to do that.
All right. I love it. Sweet. So do we want to talk about Charlie Sheen real quick?
We'll talk about him. We'll talk about it a little later on.
Okay. Well, anyway, so I guess we'll get into our topic. So, I'm sorry, what's the name of the show again? Actor Real Master
Database. Acting Real Master Database.
Acting Real Master Database. saw it when it first was on Channel 101. Loved it. Was like, ah! And it's, you know, I can give you the best compliment that I can think of was when I saw it and I went, ah, why didn't I think of that?
Dude, me
God
too.
God damn
me
it. Too. What a, oh, fuck, you know?
Sorry.
No, I'm saying. That's always the best when I'm just like, oh, man, I just get so mad at myself. Like, damn yeah, it, that's so brilliant.
Because it seems like one of those ideas that it's like, it's right there.
Yeah.
It's right there.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
How did you not,
mm-hmm.
oh, my God, like, how did nobody find this before?
But I think maybe we should do, for the people at home real quick, is just explain what Channel 101 is. Because I don't know if everyone
yeah.
knows.
It started in L.A. That's the original Channel 101. And then I think 2006, they started Channel 102 in New York, but they changed the name to Channel 101 New York.
Yep.
And that's what it is now. But basically, it's a monthly screening at 92Y Tribeca, and they show 10 five-minute TV shows, and they can be anything, but they're generally all comedy. And so they show 10 episodes, and then at the end of the screening, audience votes on their favorite five, and those five shows continue to the next month's screening, where they make a new episode, and five new shows are brought in, and it just continues that way. And the producers of the five returning shows have a panel meeting like a week before the screening, and they get all the new submissions and vote on which ones to bring in. And so basically it's a monthly screening where they show 10 five-minute episodes, and it also has a website where you can check out all of the shows and the canceled shows.
Doesn't that create a scenario, though, like from the comedian's perspective of like, all right, I have to pick against the shows competing against my show. I'm going to pick the five shittiest shows because I definitely don't want to lose.
Yeah, it sounds like that's probably the way it would work. But, like, I mean, it is we are trying to, because like I've been on the panel meetings for the last few months, and there is definitely like a sense of we want this to be the best that it can be, like because it's all kind of based around the screenings, so we want it to be enjoyable for the audience so that they continue to come back and it generates buzz. So like it's not advantageous in the long run, I guess, to put in shitty shows just so we can get ahead.
Well, I think it's also like
I think you're a good person. I think there's a difference. Like, whereas I'm a bad person.
Well, I think there's also an idea of, and this may sound bad at first, but like there's the idea of like no one's getting rich off of this, obviously.
No.
So you're sort of doing it to, you know, work on stuff and get better at what you're doing. So you would want to put up the best stuff against your show, so you have to be like, all right, I got to step it up this month
exactly.
And really, you know, do something great. Because again, it's sort of this really, the thing that's great about it is this really intense little world sort of onto itself where, you know, you're sort of doing this stuff. And so, you know, it almost feels like when you're in it, it almost feels like maybe like being back in high school or something where it's like everybody knows everybody else. And it's just sort of this weird little intense little world that's sort of separate from the outside larger world. So, you know, that's what's great about it.
Yeah, it's a great little, like, community. Everybody's really, you know, we help each other out, like, on our shows and stuff, and it's really good. And, like, they're very accepting, I think, of new people, like, when new shows come in.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like a tight-knit, you know, group that's, like, they don't want outsiders to come in. But, yeah, I just love having that deadline once a month to make all this stuff. Because, I mean, I wouldn't have made, you know, all these episodes if I didn't have that deadline.
Yeah.
So it's almost kind of like an arbitrary sort of reason to make stuff, to just have it at the screening. But
and that's sort of what I mean. I mean, we used to have my independent sketch group. The first thing we would do when we were coming to a new show is set the date and book the theater, because that is just so powerful to be like, you know, a month from now at 9:30 on a Tuesday, we got to do something. Yeah. There's going to be a room full of people looking at us.
Yeah.
So we'll have to have something.
And then pride and fear kicks in and you go, okay.
Mostly fear for me. Mostly fear. Because otherwise be like, I'll do it tomorrow. but once you can't, you know, once you start running out of tomorrows, you gotta get it done. And what's also amazing is that like you are just like, oh, I don't have an idea in my head. I got nothing. Mm-hmm. And then like 3 days later, you're like, oh, that's actually pretty funny. Like, you know, when you sort of are forced to come up with something, you tend to come up with something.
But with a video, it's that much harder, because it's one thing if like it's a sketch and then you bring it in and you record it. But it's like, all right, I've got this video idea. Now I need to get 12, especially for yours, 12 different locations and a whole team of actors and props and costumes. And I need to light all these things, and like it's a whole to do. Let's take our quick break and we'll get into it. And about some of the things that like you need to do to make a video, and some of the things that made your videos particularly stand out. Because again, you had old people and stuff like that, but you also had a production value that was kind of unmatched amongst most of these other videos. And that's something that I think a lot of people are like feel like they can do, but they really can't. You know, and it made such a difference, at least to me when I was watching it. So we'll talk a little bit about that too.
All right,
cool.
Do you have a question or topic you would like to hear the Comedy Nerds discuss? Send us an email to info@thecomedynerds.com or stop by the site and click Contact Us at the top of the page. We look forward to hearing from you at thecomedynerds.com.
All right, and we're back. We're talking
with Dan Upsall.
Hi.
Do you prefer Dan O? Is that the...
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Yep, Dan O.
Is that
easier?
Just
it rolls off the tongue easier.
Nice. So, and you had created the show Acting
Real
Master
Database.
We did it.
Yeah.
Because you know all four words, you know, like, you know all the words, you're just not sure what order they go in.
Yeah. So, so the first thing I want to talk about it with it, what is brilliant about it is that you found a format that works in a web video. And here's the thing about a web video is, you gotta get to a joke right away. And that's why fake movie trailers, like commercials, they're all huge in web video, because you can do the setup really quick. You can, movie trailer, guy wakes up and he goes, here's a guy who's got a nose where his mouth should be, and you get to the first joke. Like, you don't have to say, you don't have to explain, you don't have to have him make a phone call and go, why is my nose where my mouth should be? Like, you just immediately, boom. And that's the same thing where it's like, We're seeing scenes from TV shows. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to see the scene, the part of the scene where there isn't a joke. You just show, here's what's funny, right? You know what I mean? Like, right from the word go, we're doing funny. We're not doing setup.
Was that a conscious choice on your part? Or was it just something that you liked the idea and you went with it?
I've just always liked really fast-paced sort of comedy. And, like, knowing that it's a web thing. Like, I even find that if something's more than about 3 minutes, that I almost don't want to click on it because that's too much of, like, a time investment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, like, knowing that Channel 101 was, like, a five-minute format, I just thought, well, how can I even chop that down a little bit further? I just kind of liked the idea because not only do they, I mean, they don't even really have to be jokes all the time because the format of it is just like out of context excerpts from stuff. I think as long as you get like the vibe of what we're kind of, I guess, spoofing or whatever, yeah, then, you know, that's enough. I think it just kind of stemmed from liking really short, punchy kinds of things and like, yeah, getting in and out of a joke and in and out of a scenario and just onto something else. And, you know, if you don't like this 30 seconds, it'll be over soon and mm-hmm. there'll be something completely different.
Was there a specific, like, type of comedy that you watched that inspired you to do that, or was it just something that, like, you enjoy?
That's a good question. I guess not really specifically. I've watched a lot of sketch, you know, over the years. But, no, I guess there's not really anything in particular like that. Like, I worked on a show for this little video game network a few years ago that was almost sort of like the same kind of thing. It was sort of like a Robot Chicken, I guess, kind of thing, but all video game themed. And so I guess that was maybe partially where it kind of came from, because that was just like some of the bits were 5-10 seconds, some were 30 seconds, some were a minute. It's maybe Robot Chicken-esque, only without the stop motion stuff.
And cheaper dolls. Because the dolls are expensive.
Yeah.
People think they're like, oh, it's a G.I. Joe doll. It's not. It's a specially made doll. I want to point that out.
Okay. Point it out. So it's great. So, I mean, the other thing is that obviously the high production value, and then you're doing a lot of, very quickly, but you're doing a lot of different kind of genres, a lot of different kinds of shooting, a lot of different kinds of looks. How difficult is it to do all of that stuff, to not, you know, to have to do different kinds of shooting for within a 5-minute thing?
It is difficult, but I think that's like the most fun part of it. Cause like I went to the University of Iowa where I studied film. And so like, I guess I came into comedy from sort of like the filmmaking side. Like I was more interested in kind of like the craft of filmmaking, and then it just kind of evolved into comedy or something. So I think that's why I thought this was like a good marriage of that, because like I love doing all kinds of different styles, and there's so many out there that it'd just be a good opportunity to experiment with, you know, dark drama and like upbeat, you know,
yeah,
commercial or, you know, whatever. And so, yeah, I think that's kind of where it partially stems from, is just like the filmmaking side of it.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's from there, like just scheduling is the hardest part. Like, cause we do one of these per month. And so, like, as soon as the screening's over, like, the next day, I'm, like, starting to write and, like, get pre-production ready and trying to find actors, because it really does take a lot of time to get all the different locations and figuring out how to shoot it and get it all done in the deadline.
What is that production or the pre-production? What is that like? You know, how do you, like, first of all, like, how do you decide who's going to be the actor? You know, where does that come from?
I have a lot of friends in like the UCB community, just like performers around there, and like some other friends that are, you know, professional actors, you know, that do a lot of like commercials and short films and stuff. And so it's always just been like friends of mine or like people that I've seen, you know, perform or in videos and just like respected them. And so I just reach out to them, hey, you want to do this thing? And I'm able to like show them the past episodes, and that usually gets them excited about it. It's just like friends from mostly the UCB community and just reaching out to them and stuff.
Yeah.
That's one thing. We had talked a little bit off mic a little while back, but about getting people who you don't necessarily know involved in your thing. Cause I don't think people realize, like, if you're part of a comedy community or, you know, or whatever, if you're doing something quality, other people will want to be part of it. You know, it's like there's, a lot of times you look at somebody on stage and go, okay, well, I could work on a project, but that person's not going to work with me. They're they're famous and whatever, you know, in that little community or whatever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But because the thing that you were doing, and that you could have fallen into that trap very easily, mm-hmm. you know, but because you had something of such quality, people were attracted to it. People did come and do it. And I think that's a reason to, for people really to try to push themselves as hard as they can, because other people will come at it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially, I think it sort of even came from like a year and a half ago or something. I'd been going to a lot of shows at the UCB, and there was like a show that just had a bunch of great performers. I think it was a Variety Shack show.
Okay.
And like Bobby Tisdale and Michael Showalter were on there. And I just thought, like, man, there's so many. And there were a few other like stand-ups that were on there. And I was just like, all these people are so great. There's got to be a way that I could like put together some kind of format where I can work with all these people.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's kind of also where it sort of came from. And just starting some kind of show that would involve lots of actors that I could, you know, reach out to. And it worked eventually. And it sort of almost, it kind of came full circle because, you know, Andrea Rosen is part of Variety Shack, obviously. Yeah. And she was just on this last episode of the show. So it was kind of sort of came full circle, I guess, in that way.
And you just ended with end scene. And then
yep, exactly.
And then right after this podcast, you're just riding off into the sunset.
Yeah, she's doing that right now. Yeah. There she is.
That's great. So, yeah. So, again, a little bit more on, like, the... do you write the whole thing out?
Yes. Yeah. So, I usually spend, like, that first week or so after the screening kind of writing.
And are you just thinking, like, what kind of crazy, kind of stupid thing could a person do?
Yeah, it's kind of like I usually know the actor right away. That's the first thing I decide so that I can kind of write for that person to kind of their strengths, I guess. But, yeah, it's kind of a combination of that just, like, weird ideas that I've had that I could form into some kind of scene or just, like, I've always wanted to do this kind of movie, like a weird psychological thriller or a dark drama or like the sappy romantic scene or something, just wanting to do a particular genre. And then I just watch a lot of acting reels, because if you just type in acting reel on YouTube, there's like zillions of them out there. So that kind of helps too, just kind of see what they actually look like. And then I can kind of make fun of that form a little bit as well.
Yeah. Unfortunately, they're always going to be about 40% or 50% as funny as your parody of because of the nature of them.
Yeah.
You know, they're always going to be like ridiculous.
Yeah.
Some of them are they're just so bad though that they're funny because they're taking themselves so seriously. And a lot of the acting reels that are out there are like these really low budget things. It's not like acting reels of people that are in legitimate movies and TV shows. It's all like these really bad idea, low budget short films or
student films.
Yes, exactly.
Ridiculous things. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. With a movie, it's like no matter how good you were playing a giant rabbit that, you know, eats children. And like, okay, yeah, all right.
Yeah.
You put that in your reel. Okay, awesome. That was in your top five.
Is there any feeling though sometimes of like, you know, putting together an actor reel is like it can be kind of humiliating or whatever, but you know sometimes you have to do it. Like I guess my question is like some of this stuff sometimes feels like it maybe hits a little close to home.
So your question is how do you live with yourself?
No, but I mean, you know what I mean? Like, is anybody, you know, have you ever been like, oh, and it'd be funny if you did this thing, and the actor's like, actually, I did do that thing. Like that is on my reel, you know, like
that actually has come up a couple times. Yeah,
yeah.
Like something that was purposely written, like really cheesy or sappy, and like this is like exactly almost word for word something that I've actually done.
Yeah.
There was one scene in one of the videos. I want to say it was like the second one, but I don't really remember. That was a CPR course.
Oh yes.
And I remember thinking like, I feel like this is real. Yeah. I know the rest of this stuff is made up, but this is so fucking upsetting that it's real. Like I couldn't imagine that you had made it up because it hurt my being. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was that kind of thing where you like. You want to explain?
Yeah. It started because my wife Lisa she works in a preschool, and they had like a CPR video that they had to show. You know, I think it was like for children. If children are choking, then so that they know how to make them not die.
Just good thing to have.
Yeah. So she had like a disc of this really bad CPR video, and showed it to me. And it was like some stuff was taken straight from it, like at least the beginnings of it. mm-hmm. is, you know, actual CPR methods, but then it goes a little bit further than the original video.
Well, and you know, and that's sort of what I mean, because like I had a friend of mine who's, you know, he's a struggling actor, as many people are that we know. And I was talking to him about the show Party Down, and I was like, oh, so, you know, whatever. And he just had this sort of thought of like, or this attitude of like, I just can't right now. Like, maybe in a few months when I'm in a better place. But you know what I mean? He's like, yeah, I'm a struggling actor, and I'm working for a catering company, and it's just not funny to me right now. I need to get myself into a slightly better place before I can look back and laugh about how yeah. I used to be. Like, yeah, yeah. I can't laugh at how I am exactly right now, you know? So, I mean, that's the thing. Like, I mean, it's hilarious, but I also see, you know, the kind of thing where, like, occasionally I'll see something that just hits a little too close to home, and I'm like, ha, ha, oh, now I'm sad.
Yeah. one of the actors actually said after it was done that he was jealous of his fictitious character that he was playing, because that fake reel was better than his actual reel.
So look, we touched on it, but let's talk a little bit about getting older actors with children, or just, you know, more actors or people from outside this little community, and, you know, yeah. What is that like?
Well, I think that's like a really important part of this series in particular, because like it's, like, these aren't really treated as like comedy sketches, like when I'm shooting them, or like, it's really like when I'm writing them, I'm trying to write them, you know, with some kind of funny skew on it or whatever. But when I'm shooting them, like, I'm directing the actors to play it as real as possible. Like, if it's a, you know, crime scene, investigation scene, they should be playing it exactly like if they were hired on Law and Order or something.
Right.
And so I think it is really important, like, when I'm casting people, that I know that they're not just like comedians necessarily, but they have like a side to them that's legitimate, you know, actors, and they really take it seriously, and they can, you know, pull that off.
Yeah. Do you ever think that the people you're getting are really excited because this can go on their reel?
Yes. And that has happened, actually. Yeah. Like, since some of them have been released, like, some of these actors have released their actual reels, and it's like, you know, 60% from their episode, and then some other actual things that they've done.
That's got to be so screwy if you're actually looking at their reel, though.
I feel like that would be, it is confusing, I'm yeah. sure, because, like, if they're trying to get an actual job, I'm like, here's my reel, but I know that's not my real name because this is fake, but it is, does showcase my abilities, and that would be weird.
Like, we're through the looking glass at this point.
Yeah. That's yeah, crazy. I might just be like, I can't hire you because you're just making your reel's making my mind explode. So you're very good, but I am gonna cry.
Yeah.
So now, you said you came from the cinematic background, which shows, if you know anybody, again, go watch the video, pause the podcast, go watch the video, come back. So yeah. Whatever. But I would think with that cinematic background, it would create a situation where you would want to do more long form narratives. You know, because mm-hmm. in cinema, it's, I'm gonna have this idea, and I'm going to throw everything at it for, you know, a little while, and then you'll have this movie, and yay. Whereas this, you're just hitting for brief periods of time. Do you ever feel the need that, like, no, I need to start really exploring, like, or is that...
Yes, but I think I just have too short of an attention span mm-hmm. at this point. Like, I think at this point in my life, I just really want to, like, experiment with a lot of shorter form stuff and just see what, you know, I mm-hmm. like the best and would want to expand on. But yeah, I mean, I've always wanted to, like, write a full script and shoot a full script, and I mean, it would take years to do mm-hmm. and I think at this point I just don't have the patience to focus on one thing when there's so many other things that I would want to explore. So I think that's kind of where the acting reel sort of thing came in, because I just want to do a lot of very short things. But, like, eventually I'll get there, because it is, like, something that I definitely want to do, is just expand a story and take it to, like, full 90 minutes or something. Mm-hmm. But,
well, I mean, that's sort of what's exciting about sort of in this web video world, where it's still evolving. I think mm-hmm. people are still figuring out what this thing is. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It sort of feels like the early days of television or something, where they're just like, I don't know, maybe, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, can we cut between things?
That's the thing. Like, I think if you want to be successful in the online video world, mm-hmm. you have to become a Danu.
Yeah.
Because there was that sense for a while that, like, there was TV, and then there was the bullshit that you did online. And the bullshit that you did online, like, when YouTube came out, it was like, everybody and their mother can make a video. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to watch it because, oh, look, that I know Steve. And yeah. Steve's in that video. And, you know, he's funny. Look at him. But now our tastes have gotten much more where it's like, oh no, I want good audio.
Right.
And I want good video. And I want pretty decent writing. You know, like you said, like nobody's going to watch an 11-minute video anymore. Mm-hmm. There was a time where they may have. Now they're definitely not going to do it. And as soon as like, oh, the audio is crappy or, oh, it's shot in poor quality, people start turning that stuff off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think now all those talents that you had with the cinematic stuff, you know, whatever, are really what's going to start making things stick out. Now you see the things that are successful actually have decent lighting, and they actually have good audio, and they actually have good acting.
Yeah.
You know, because again, for a while, the novelty was there. Mm-hmm. And I think the novelty is now gone. Now impress me.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I think something like Funny or Die is creating a situation that makes it hard for people who are doing videos where, because it's like, oh, you have all these amazing actors and you're shooting it really well. How am I supposed to compete with that? Step up your game. That is mm-hmm. really the answer to it.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the things that you managed to do in a really good way. And I think that other people should be looking at that and going, okay, I can't just point a camera at things anymore. I really need to start thinking about it.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Although, but I mean, that's also, you know, that can be tough too. And that's the other thing that's great about it, is all the location shooting and stuff is... That's all fine and well, but I mean, you know, I have my apartment. Like, where else am I going to shoot something?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't have access to a sound stage. If I did mm-hmm. and I had a crew, right. I could definitely do this.
Yeah, well, that was one of the videos that I had gotten that I had submitted to something, whatever. One of the comments that I got, because it was supposed to be a period piece, mm-hmm. But I shot it in this room. And the only thing that makes it not necessarily a period piece thing is that there's like a... fire alarm, whatever, fire extinguisher thing.
Oh, yeah.
There's there. And I didn't particularly notice it at the time, but they were like, that's inauthentic. And I was like, fuck you. Like,
it's a comedy video.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I probably should have gotten rid of it. But there also was that sense of, like, I only have 4 locations to shoot in the world. And yeah. I tell you right now that, like, there was a period of time where my bedroom was a bedroom in, like, 11 different comedy videos because yeah. it was big enough, like, I had a good bed.
Yeah.
And... So that made it the location for every bed scene of everybody that I knew for right. a while. But you took it up a notch and actually, like, went and, like, really found locations, man. Like, that seems...
Yeah, and I think sometimes it's, like, I even am sort of writing for locations. Like, as I'm mm-hmm. writing a scene, like, if it's, like, okay, I know where I'm going to shoot this, and I know that it will work for this kind of scene. I mean, that yeah. always helps. Like, if I have access to, like, a big, you know, kind of warehouse location, then... Okay, mm-hmm. it's okay to write this, you know, German music video because yeah. I know where I'm going to be able to shoot it. And then, you know, a lot of times if I don't have the location, but it's green screenable, I mean, that's another
yeah.
good option is I just shoot it in front of a green screen and I can make the background what I need.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think a big part of it is just kind of planning out what I know I have access to, like which actors I know would be good for what parts and where to shoot them and how to shoot them and... Just so I know that in advance.
Yeah, I remember driving through Long Island City, in like the you know the parts where it's like sort of warehousey.
Yeah,
and just thinking like, why am I not shooting videos here all the time?
Yeah, it's great.
This is a perfect place to just yeah. have like the Wire related things.
Yeah, well, I've shot there too because it's like you just go there like a Saturday afternoon and it's just abandoned. There's just mm-hmm. no yeah. one there. It's just like this like. You know, 6-block radius where you yeah. can run around with a camera and not see another
right.
person.
Although I tried to shoot in Greenpoint, right? Yeah. And we went like to the docks because it was something that clearly needed to happen in front of the docks. Nobody. There's fucking nobody around except this one guy who drives like a gypsy cab. Was just like, I'm going to park behind the location yeah. that you've already been and I'm going to sleep for half an hour.
Yeah.
It's like, well, I can't make you leave, but.
Yeah.
Drive a block, asshole. Like, come on, man. Like, yeah, yeah. you see me pointing a camera at you. Stop being a jerk.
Yeah. Well, there's also, that's the other thing, too, when you're, like, shooting video, like, on the street or something, and all of a sudden you're just like, I never noticed how noisy it is
yeah,
out
yeah,
here.
Yeah.
Just constantly muscle cars and, like, radios are blasting. It's like, how do I walk around not constantly, you know, crazy with the noise out here when I'm just like, you know, it's just like, okay, say the line right now because there's no plane and there's no car going by and no one has a radio. Just do it. Just say it right now. Oh, damn it. A plane's coming. Fuck, yeah. We missed it. Like, I mean, it could be crazy sometimes, you mm-hmm. know?
I always think that, like, I'm going to go back and I'm going to whip the audio and I never do.
Yeah. Well, it's not
as fancy.
You know, the other thing I want to ask you about is that I think it's funny sometimes the you were talking about like the different styles that you're doing, and we've been talking about how great the show looks, and it does obviously. But sometimes it's also tough when it's like, okay, I want this to look really cheesy. you know what I mean? And sometimes I feel like the technology with like After Effects, like everything in After Effects looks so great that sometimes it's hard to be like, okay, I need to take this down like three notches.
I can make things look awful.
But even that's like,
if you need something,
I need to look like this was made in 1993, so it needs to look like a little pixelated and not quite as like good. Like, you know, how do you deal with that? We're trying to make stuff look not as good as you want it to look.
I mean, to be honest, like most of the time, I just try to avoid that because I just don't. I mean, the end result, obviously, I want it to look good.
Yeah.
But yeah, every once in a while, there's one that's like, this is supposed to look really bad, and so, I mean, maybe I'll just shoot it SD instead of HD, or I'll, you know, a lot of times I'll shoot it 60i instead of 24p. This is getting very technical. I don't know. I don't know if the listeners know what this means. But shooting it in a way that looks more video-y than filmy is a technique I've used a lot. But for the most part, I just try to kind of avoid that.
I think it's amazing how that unconsciously affects you when you're watching it. You know what I mean? Like you don't even think that you notice that stuff as much as you do, and it does affect even the comedy of it.
Mm-hmm.
To go, oh, you know, I know what this look means. you know.
I think that like part of, you know, like you're saying with the a bunch of tiny little shots is because you actually get the look that is matched to like what that genre is, whether it be a cop drama or, you know, there's the one where like the dad's dying or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You instantly, like, because the look has changed, you're like, oh, I recognize that look as a look that happens when blah, blah, blah is happening.
Mm-hmm.
So it's that extra second of like, oh, I don't need, I'm not lost. I know exactly where I am because everything's a little like cobalt blue, little whatever. So, oh, it must be a cop thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that goes a long way because there is definitely a sense with like your regular, just like I'm going to point a camera at somebody kind of videos where you're like, I don't, where are you going for right now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what kind of helps about this because, I mean, most of the scenes are recognizable.
Yeah.
So it's like, and they're things that exist in the world. So it's easy to just kind of go, you know, watch a scene from NYPD Blue or something and think, okay, I see how they film that and how they color treat it. And then just match it as best you can with the equipment you have.
Do you think, as we sort of wrap up here, do you think that online video is going more even towards that like 30-second, 40-second kind of thing? Or is it just something that you sort of do, but...
You mean for me personally? Or
no, I just mean like generally like online videos, like your method, like I remember when I first saw it, and I mean this in the nicest possible way, I was thinking like, he's cheating. Like, because it's a 5-minute thing, but he's doing 30 things in a 5-minute period of time. It's a whole bunch of little things. Do you think that the intentions, like essentially the attention span of viewers, is dropping down to the point where that's, we're going to see a lot of that, where it's going to be like everything's going to have to be in that 30-second?
I would like to think not, but I almost do kind of feel like in the back of my mind that is sort of kind of where it's heading, for better or worse. Because I mean, even like the internet has gotten so much faster, and there's like more that you can do at once, and I feel like, you know, people are now not only watching videos, but they're like watching a video and they're checking like the weather or their fantasy football at the same time, and like listening to music and have the TV on in the background, and it's just like so many more distractions that they can, you know, be focusing on while watching a video. And I feel like even a couple minutes is a lot to ask of people these days.
That's the thing, like even if I am distracted, I'll sit down in front of the TV and go, okay, I'm gonna watch TV now.
Mm-hmm.
But I almost never sit down in front of the computer and say, I'm gonna watch some web videos.
Yeah, I think
it's just something
that
pops up. Someone has sent me a link, and so if I click on it within the first 10 seconds, if it's not grabbing me, I'm like, I got other stuff to do. I can't sit here, you know. It, I mean, in a way, it almost has to kind of overpower me because I gotta go, after the 3 minutes, I gotta go, oh shit, I was supposed to check something, you know what I mean?
Like,
so you almost need to, there's so much resistance because if I have a thought of, oh, I was supposed to check my email and I gotta get in the shower and go to work, like, you know, then I'm gonna get away from it.
Yeah.
So you almost have to.
Yeah, I guess it's just like a different feeling. I mean, when you're like you said in front of the TV, you know that this is that's the only thing on the TV is right. what you're watching.
Yeah.
But like on the computer, there's a zillion things you could do. And like people could be instant messaging you and you're talking to them while trying to watch the video and going to a different tab. So you're just listening to it, but not watching it.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah.
I find I'm very influenced by the thumbnail.
Yeah.
Like, because yeah. if it's in terms of me watching a video, either everybody who's told me to watch it, I know the people really well, or the thumbnail's got either like a ridiculous thing or like a really pretty lady or whatever. And I'm like, okay, I want to see where that's going. But if it's just like two dudes sitting on a couch,
yeah,
I'm never like probably not gonna watch that. Definitely yeah, not unless you pay me to.
Yeah, but I also am still, even though I know it's not true, still under the impression that I can watch something and read something at the same time and pay attention to both.
Yeah.
And you cannot. It is physically impossible. Yet I still think like I'm watching this. Let me just check this email, and then I'll start reading it. And then I'll turn around, and the two guys are like fighting. I'm like, wait, how did they get here? I thought we were. What? Yeah. What happened? Hold on, I gotta go back. Like every time, but I still think like I could just read this one sentence real quick. Yeah. Okay, I got lost again. I don't know what's going on.
All right, so where can our listeners find out more about the stuff that you're doing?
We can go to my website. That's danopsahl.com.
Spelled
DanOpsahl. Yep. .com.
And we will link to it.
Nice.
And then Channel 101 New York. Oh, what is that though? It's a ny.channel101.com, I believe, or you can just Google.
Yeah,
that.
Google but, Channel 101.
Yeah, Channel 101 New York.
Awesome.
Yep, et cetera.
And you have any exciting projects coming up?
There are some exciting projects. I wish I could talk more in detail about what they are, but I'm working on a few things and doing a lot of writing, more writing than
a lot of legal issues.
In the past. Oh, big time, yeah.
Yeah, I get it.
I'm very important.
All right, I think we'll leave it there with I'm very important. Dan, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you very much
for having me. You guys follow us, our Facebook fan page, follow us on Twitter.
Yeah.
Go to thecomedynerds.com for all your comedy nerds needs.
Yes, and if anyone has any actual proof of Iowa, send it along.
send that along.
I'm still not entirely believing it.
I mean, we're going to put a pretty critical eye to it. We're going to be a little skeptical, but we're, you know, we'll listen.
Yeah.
We'll hear what you have to say about the existence of Iowa.
Screw you guys.
Also, I'm a pretty little shaky on Nebraska, but if you got anything on that, let us know. Thank you guys so much for listening. Dan, thank you again.
Thank you.
For being on the show. Dustin, thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Dan Mackering.
I'm Dusty Adair.
Thank you guys so much for listening. This has been The Comedy Nerds, and we'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
Bye. You've been listening to The Comedy Nerds. If you have any questions or comments, please email us at info@thecomedynerds.com. Check out our website at thecomedynerds.com where you can comment on any past episodes. And if you enjoyed this show, please write a review in iTunes and tell the world how awesome we are. For Dustin and myself, thank you for listening.